Got Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, in studio. And, Bob, we were spending some valuable time together during the break. Coin snatching. Are you impressed with the O-Dog or what?
He never ceases to amaze me. But he actually is a physical specimen.
Yep.
When it comes to coin snatching.
That's right. I would have loved to have seen your hockey news breakdown.
Oh, man, if he'd go number one overall.
Yeah, lock. McDavid from pillar to post, first overall lock.
Oh. Can't be denied.
He's generational.
He really is.
He'd be a generational talent.
Yep, at coin snatching. Right from the elbow, right into the hand.
Him and Bob.
10 quarters.
It doesn't. Him and Bob Arube. It defies, like, it's amazing to watch. Like, you're quick, baby.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try 20.
Tried to do what you just did on the break there,
yard sale.
It would be a total yard sale of quarters, and you guys, somebody would lose an eye.
Right. You'd need protective eyewear.
Yeah, we've got to wear the glasses.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob.
The welding glasses.
I'd never heard of it before. I'd never seen it before, and I do not have faith in myself.
Nope.
So we've spent the majority of the day talking about Matthews and his scoring, and, I mean, he's red hot right now. We haven't really talked that much about the ice time, though. Like, this is the polar opposite of what Babcock was all
Everything
about.
Everything is.
Everything is. There's four
every
forwards.
Day, every day, it's another chapter right. of Mike did it one way, we're doing it a different way.
Is this too extreme, though? These guys, like, the four guys up front are playing too much minutes.
Here's what I know. I was just looking at the Leafs' schedule. I'm going to be talking about this on That's Hockey. The Leafs have, like, the best schedule ever here coming up. So they had the outdoor practice, the three-on-three tourney at Nathan Phillips Square today. They're flying to Florida tomorrow. They don't play until Sunday. They come home. They play at home on Tuesday against the Devils. They play at home on Thursday against the Flames. They play at home on Saturday against the Hawks. And then they've got 8 days off until they play the Predators in Nashville at they've got their bye week and the All-Star. So they have, I believe, if you're doing the math, four games, three of them at home, over like 18 days or whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. So if you can just focus on those four games, try and get a positive result, you know, try and win three of those four, then you're coming out of the break and everybody from Austin Matthews to Freddie Anderson is going to be totally rested. And then you can determine, okay, what's the diminishing return on playing a guy like Austin Matthews 23, 24 minutes a night?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which is fine. I mean, I feel it's almost inappropriate to start complaining about too much ice when we spent like 3 years complaining about not enough ice.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all situational. If you're down a goal, of course these guys should be playing.
Yep.
But like, Timoshov didn't even play 3 minutes last night. Like, not even 3 minutes. Like, that's like Colton Orr-type numbers.
That's old school.
Yeah.
Fourth line, you're not playing.
You're just not playing. And the game went into overtime, which you wouldn't expect to see him in overtime, but still, like, he scored a goal last night, too.
It's, you know, I think everything that Keefe is doing, it's all new. It's all different. And we can't, with any degree of accuracy, say, is it sustainable? Other than we know the Leafs are not going to have a 700 winning percentage under Keefe at the end of the regular season. They're not. I just know they're not, any more than any other team's going to have a 700 winning percentage from now until then or over a period that large a sample size. But everything is it's new and it's different, and let's just ride it out and see if it works.
Right.
It's their way of trying to overwhelm other teams. Our best players are going to be out there all the time.
And on a cap, and on a team that's capped out, that's if you're spending,
they're flexing.
You're spending all the money on those players. Well, then,
here we go now.
You know, maybe 8 weeks from now, they're dragging their ass around and they're tired. Figure that out when you get there.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I feel pretty good about their depth up front. Like, that's the thing. I know they're dealing with injuries, with Janssen out and Mikheyev has been out, and Trevor Moore's ostensibly been out all year. But Spez has given them pretty good minutes. Kapanen can play, and Kapanen only played 12 or 13 minutes last night. And it's an extreme way of coaching, but it's working. Like, Hyman played 20, I think. There's five forwards that are going to just play constantly. And when Janssen returns, I would assume he'll be closer to that than the middle of the pack.
Yeah, you would think so. And it sounds like he's getting close.
He's getting close. And Dermott, I thought Dermott played okay last night.
Yeah, like he had Dermott, some bite. Like he was noticeable.
Right, because he's been given a big opportunity here.
Yep. Like, I missed most. I didn't see much of the game, just the highlights. But
yeah. But Keith said before the game, we're going to start playing him more. And he's an RFA at the end of the year. And luckily for us, we haven't had a lot of contract talk to get into this year, considering what we went through the past 2 or 3 years.
So much.
Yeah. But he's a guy that you wonder about.
Yep.
Like, what kind of deal is he looking
at? But on a cap team, guy coming out of entry level with his body of work, and, you know, he'll probably get a bridge deal.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody will be fine with that. It's not going to be difficult.
You made a good point here. They've got four games and lots of time to play it. And then coming out of the All-Star break, I would think you've got some players that are either close or going to be playing.
Right.
That may be the first time we see them in a bit of a cap crunch. Like, are they, you know, they may have to do some dancing a little bit.
Yeah, we've been saying that all year, and every time we think that, just at that precise moment that you think they're going to be going six defensemen, 12 forwards, no spares hanging around.
Right.
That precise moment, somebody gets injured, then another guy gets injured, and right now there's so many guys, Trevor Moore, Andreas Janssen, Jake Muzzin, on and on it goes.
Brendan Gallagher coming back tonight. Yeah. It's kind of a rare, like, savior scenario for a guy who's only been out for a few games.
Yeah.
But right back onto the top line. I think Montreal is done. I think it's over. They've been so decimated. They haven't been that good anyway. Carey Price is not bringing it. But how do you think Bergevin, their GM, is going to handle this between now and the trade deadline? Because he wants to win.
We just talked about that on Insider Trading, Pierre LeBrun. You know, as the schedule goes, the Montreal schedule is a little more difficult than Toronto's schedule between now and the break. But they've got six games between now and the 20th. And they've got the same bye week as the Leafs. I think Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal all have their five-day bye right before the All-Star break. So that means they get 8-9 days off, and that it's done on purpose that way. A lot of teams have it coming out of the break or whatever, but they're looking at this six games as okay. They got pro scouting meetings that start on Friday. They got six games between now and when they go on their break. At the end of that six games, they're going to look at the standings and they're going to say, "Are we hopelessly out of it?" Which they appear to be right now, or do they reel off 5 out of 6 wins? Split the difference between where they are now and where the playoff line is and say, okay, let's come out a break and we'll see where we're at and we'll keep going. Or, you know, do they lose 5 out of 6 or lose 4 out of 6 and know that they're way out of there and say, okay, you know what? Sell.
What do you think is the Carey Price conversation?
I don't know.
In the summer, if they miss and he has a .900 save percentage.
Well, it's not, you know, what I would say is this is, it's, the Carey Price conversation, it's the Shea Weber conversation too. And I understand where you're going because we're talking about Price's performance. But and maybe Price doesn't have the justification to be able to bitch and moan about a rebuilding team that didn't make the playoffs if he didn't do his part to help them make the playoffs. And that has been one of many issues that they've had to deal with. But it comes back to if you're Carey Price, forget about the Montreal side of it for a second. You're Carey Price and Shea Weber, and on the 20th they look at the standings and they're way out of it, and the general manager says, "Okay, let's offload whatever we can. Let's try and get some draft picks. Let's try and get some more younger guys." And that, if you're Price and Weber, you're like, "Wow, that's not a good year," and I'm not getting any younger. And as I said, for Price, it's harder because, you know, at least you can say Weber, he's played to his level and above it at times.
Yeah.
Price hasn't done that. But nevertheless, you're still a 30-something guy who's getting paid big money to try and win a Stanley Cup, and now you're not even in the playoffs.
I don't listen.
It's the worst place to be. You're not really good, and you're not really, really bad.
Right.
Yeah. Middling ground in pro sports is death. The Leafs did it for years. Just missed the playoffs. Just miss the playoffs. You don't get a lottery pick. You don't get in the playoffs. It's pro sports death.
Yeah.
But, you know, the flip side is, I mean, if you're Carey Price, you say, like, you might say, I might be better off somewhere else. And then you're like, well, you didn't have a good year, and you're the most expensive goalie contract by far in the National Hockey League. Like, nobody's taking that contract on, I wouldn't think. No, you know, most teams can't afford a $10.5 million or $10 million, whatever it was.
Would Edmonton?
Number one goalie.
Can't afford it.
They couldn't afford
right
it.
Not right now.
They'd have to shoot bodies out the door.
Yeah, you'll have to move people out.
And you know, and Montreal's got cap space, and they could take money back, but that's not a consideration. What Montreal wants is for Carey Price to play at the absolute top of his game to give them the best possible chance to try and make the playoffs. I don't know how many. I haven't watched the Canadiens closely enough this year to try and speculate on how many more wins they might have if their goaltending was a little better, but I got to believe it's a few.
Well, they've lost 16 one-goal games.
Yeah.
You know, that's you know.
Yeah, and I'm not blaming Price for where they're at. Because they've been, you know, anybody that watches the Canadiens on a regular basis would tell you that they need another defenseman or two, that the defense isn't good enough, and that they've been dealing with on a team that's got, their strength is they've got a whole bunch of guys that can score 20, 25, 30, maybe even 35 goals. So your Gallagher and your Tatar and your Drouin and your Domi and your Lehkonen, and you go all up and down the lineup. So the balance is the key. But then all of a sudden, take Drouin, he's been out for a long time. You take this guy out, he's been out for a while, and it starts to diminish that whole score by committee. And mm-hmm. You know, and yet they've been a good 5-on-5 team that hasn't been great special teams.
Well, if the draft lottery were to happen tonight, the Montreal Canadiens would have the 7th best odds. And a big difference between what the Leafs used to go through and what the league does now is the draft lottery. The odds are different. And as I was saying, I don't listen to TSN Radio in Montreal, but I guarantee you someone is peddling with the draft in Montreal. The best case scenario is with the first pick.
I did TSN Radio in Montreal on, what day is today? Wednesday morning. So yesterday morning, I was doing it at the airport.
There is a French Canadian going first overall,
and they were like, "Wow, we got a, you know, full tank mode. Let's get her going here." And I said, "Listen, I understand if the Montreal Canadiens decide they got to offload this guy or that guy or whatever, but I said you can't tank anymore. Tanking, there comes a cost with tanking." And it starts to be, you endorse a culture of losing. And you've seen all these teams that have tanked, whether it was Buffalo or Edmonton or some of these other teams.
Toronto did it perfectly. And we called it the dignified tank.
Yeah.
They just they looked like they were going to win the game, then they lost right at the end, and it was like, there's Matthews.
Yeah. Well, and they got lucky.
Yeah,
on that.
Of course.
But that's the whole thing, too, is you're not even guaranteed. And
look at Jersey. They had two of the first overall picks, and those guys, they're not Matthews or McDavid or...
But can you imagine what Lafreniere would do in Montreal? What that would mean to the market, a French-Canadian
stud? But you know
stud?
What? On that one, I would say, all I would say to that is, you know what? Try your hardest to win as many games as you can. Trade the players that make sense to trade. You got to conduct your business in a sensible fashion. So if you've got guys on expiring contracts and you want to get draft picks for them, then get rid of them. If that makes you weaker, so be it, and live with it. If it improves your chances in the lottery, so be it. But, you know, just go and... Hey, you guys played the game. You didn't. But.
Thanks, Bob.
And I didn't play the game. You and I didn't play the game, but these guys played the game. When you played hockey, did you have any clue...
No.
...who a draft prospect was, who
Zero.
Was coming up? Did you care about the draft? Did you care about the lottery?
Not
was
at the lottery NHL back level. Then. No.
Of course not. They don't give a damn. The last thing in the world the Montreal Canadiens players are worried. They got to go out every night and play.
Well, the one thing I would say, I was going to, you just, you know, had the opportunity to watch the World Juniors. Like, and it's I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. Like, Lafreniere's not McDavid, but he's not Nail Yakupov.
Absolutely.
So where... you think, like, is he sure? Is he good? Like, that's the thing. He sure is a nice player, but he's not a dominant player.
Yeah, but he's still feeling his way.
I
agree.
He
can still be really good.
Sounds like he's like a Rantanen, maybe, or something like that. Like, is that a reasonable comparison?
It's hard to, you know, he plays center, so we'll see.
I always try to, I mean, it's unfair or not, but when you look at players, you try to use somewhat comparables and be like, I
will tell you this one thing. Nico Hischier, in his draft year, at the World Junior Championships was as good, if not better, than Lafreniere was this year.
That,
he was the most dangerous player on the ice. I remember the Americans, they beat the Swiss in a, I think it was a quarterfinal game, and the American coach said after the game that he was mortified every time Hischier got on the ice because he was a threat to score a goal.
That's kind of where my point was going, is that these guys look a lot different at certain levels. We knew what McDavid was. We thought we knew what Matthews was,
yeah,
other than seeing them. Where could these guys fall? Like that's even if Lafreniere went to Montreal, let's say they bought him out, yeah, and he's not the savior. He's just going to be a really good player,
right? Like, but he projects
to be a first line winger in the NHL. He does.
Right,
so, right.
But that's,
maybe they need Byfield. They need a center in Montreal.
That's going to be the interesting debate that some teams have, depending on how Byfield finishes the year.
I would love that. Imagine being in Montreal and they pass on the French-Canadian for Quentin Byfield.
I think that'd be tough.
That would be tough. Anyway, we got to get there first.
Yes,
good seeing you, Bob.
You too.
There's Bob McKenzie.
You're going to do the 20?
Stick around for 20.
Coin snatch.
We're about to snatch 20 coins.
Bobby Berube style.
Bobby Berube style.
I just got confirm or deny. I just got a note, and he said, I did go grab 30 pennies to see if I still had it.
From Bobby?
Mm-hmm. He goes, I got it after 2 tries.
Shout out to Bob Berube.
We love Bob.
A Canadian legend.
How long did it take to pick up the 30 pennies after the first, first go around?
Do you have stacks
of 30 waiting for you, and you can just do them, and if they go all over the place yard sale, you can just grab the next 30. And
he's probably only knows with that Bobby Berube what he's up to.
I love it.
We should get a pledge going. Get him on the quarter. His face on the quarter.
Twitter. You can put video on Twitter, so load it up.
Be on the dime.
Oh, on the dime.
Yeah, see, he's on the dime. He had the smaller coins because he said he was a smaller guy. He grabbed it.
Berube's got to have his face on the dime. Trudeau, let's go here.
Exactly.
Bob Berube on the dime.
But if you're gonna have a cyber competition with you got to go quarters.
Yeah,
or you go dime.
No dime game.
You got to step up in weight class here. Quarters or nothing.